This is the Tom Likas Show.
I like the cut of your jib.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Look at you.
Don't be stupid.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us in our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me, and a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show featuring our friend, family law attorney, Adam Sachs. Adam! Thanks for coming in.
Tom, how you doing?
What's going on? I'm doing okay.
Well, today I was going to have a guest, and I had a whole thing planned, but my mind was absolutely blown by this guy you had on the other day. He was, it was during WAP. He was Kyle, if you remember, and he was a guy from Hong Kong who had come all the way to New York to be with a girl, and then he arrived, and she was pretty indifferent towards him, if you remember. And he was very heartbroken, and he couldn't understand what he did wrong, and he was just basically a mess about the whole thing. And I thought you handled him with great understanding and patience. But I have to talk a little bit about the basis of this. It's very... very confusing for a lot of guys, and it's something that is absolutely universal. It actually was written down hundreds of years ago by a couple of philosophers who actually talked about this. They say, Tom, if you're happily married, you know, you have a great life, and if you're unhappily married, you become a philosopher, you know? And I was thinking about, there was another guy who called last week who was telling you how he was sure that he was the guy that won the lottery, that he had married the right woman and everything was going great for him. And, you know, you can think that way for a number of years. And then, you know, reality comes in and you're doing the hedge clipping and the barbecuing. And it turns out your wife is screwing the cameraman, you know. So the bottom line is that reality is complicated. And one of the things that guys really get mixed up about, I think more than anything, is the concept of gratitude and appreciation. I'll give you a good example. Guys will get a woman from another country, and they'll help her to, you know, get a green card, and they'll help her to establish herself, and they'll get her English classes. And as a guy, you're thinking, like, if someone did that for you, you know, you would be grateful to them forever. And I think part of what that guy was talking about in terms of what he did, where he, you know, disrupted his life. He took a trip away from his normal situation in Hong Kong, took a very long flight, came all the way to New York to be with this woman. You would think that that would have a lot of impact on her, and that would mean a lot from her, you know, for her, and that she would be like, wow, this guy really loves me. He cares so much about me. Look what he did for me. And, you know, there are these two philosophies I want to talk about. The first thing is called Breffault's Law. And what Breffault talked about is that it's the woman who sets up the conditions in the family. And if a woman does not have a benefit from an association with a man, then there will be no association, period. So what that means as a practical nature is that if a man gives a woman something, whatever it is, she takes it, she appreciates it at that moment, she puts it in her pocket, and then forgets about it. And so that does not in any way, as a past benefit, provide any promise for any continued association with her or appreciation or anything. And if she has, you know, her regular life moving along, it's very nice whatever you did, she'll put it away, she'll take it from you, she won't say no, but that's not going to make her grateful or appreciating or anything. And that's a terrible mistake that a lot of guys make. A lot of guys think that if they do something dramatic, I've seen guys, for example, like this guy from Hong Kong. I've seen guys, travel distances, transfer schools, get rid of an apartment, quit a job, do something very dramatic, a complex gesture to be with a woman or to go to where she lives or to be where she goes to school or whatever. And they're absolutely amazed that the woman doesn't necessarily think anything of it. And, you know, you buy her something expensive, and this is something that you always talked about, Tom, that, you know, a woman is going to make a decision whether or not to have sex with you in the first couple of minutes of when you meet her. And beyond that, you know, if you take her out for lobster, you buy her a limousine, you get expensive tickets to a show, you take her to the Grammys, whatever it is, that's all very nice. She's going to smile and take the gifts from you, but her decision is already made. And there isn't going to be any kind of, you know, long-term, forever love you because you did something special for her or you sacrificed for her, or she's going to have this, lifetime of gratitude. You know, fundamentally, women today especially have hypergamy built into them. And hypergamy is the desire to marry someone better than them. In other words, with more social status, with more money, more education. And this is why when you see women today talking among themselves and when they're really being honest, I've had this experience where I'm dating a woman and I'm listening to her friends talk. So they're not looking at me as a guy that they might date because I'm dating their friend. So they're just talking about their boyfriends and guys that they've met. And the whole conversation is about what he does, how much he makes, how successful he is, what kind of car he drives, how stylishly he dresses, and what potential he has in the future. Now, we've talked about the craziness of women who will fall in love with a guy's potential, but that's part of the same disease. And what guys get confused about, especially, is their expectation that women think like men. So if your buddy was being really kind to you and got like really expensive like Super Bowl tickets and you guys had a blast at the Super Bowl, you would always appreciate that. And at some time in the future as a guy, maybe you got your hands on something interesting, you would take him to something that was, you know, special for you to, you know, give as a gift to him as your friend. But a woman will take the Super Bowl tickets or whatever they are in the equivalent, which is you buying her clothes or buying her a house or, you know, when she's carrying on that she needs something, and you'll get it for her and she'll be happy for about 10 seconds. And once that's gone, that moment has faded, she's not going to have any sense of future appreciation or any promise of association or anything. It's just absorbed. Now, the other interesting philosopher, which is fascinating, is Arthur Schopenhauer. And Arthur Schopenhauer talks about how nature has equipped women. Now, he says, first of all, that women have no sense of justice. And this ties into the same concept that I talked about before in terms of appreciation and so forth. But he says something very interesting about women's tendency to lie. He says, lions are furnished with claws and teeth. Elephants have tusks. Boars have fangs. Bulls have horns, and a cuttlefish has dark inky fluid. And so too nature has provided women for her own protection and defense the facility of dissimulation, which is to lie and to be able to deceive. And all the power which nature has given to man in the form of bodily strength and reason has been conferred likewise on women in this form. So in other words, when he talks about the comparison between men and women and everything that men have in terms of strength physically and intelligence, women have just as much in their ability to dissimulate, which is to lie and to deceive. Now, when you look at our methodologies today and things that have always existed, women use makeup to make their face look different, look younger. Today, women can get their breasts enhanced. Women used to wear falsies when we didn't have the same technologies as we do today. And we have all kinds of surgery. When I date women, they always lie about their age. They always claim to be younger. Always. I mean, always. You'd be amazed when you look online in a dating site. Every woman there is 39. It's amazing because they never want to be older than that, you know? They always play that kind of game, you know, and, oh, no, I'm not in my 40s. I'm in my late 30s. And this is something that has been very much built into our world. And when I was listening to this guy, Kyle, you know, as he was, it was so sad because he was still kind of clinging to this idea that he had sacrificed to come to New York, and he had made such an effort to be with this woman, and that he really believed that that was going to have some kind of impact on her. And what the truth was is, like, and you actually told him this, Tom, that this thing that I'm talking about with Schopenhauer, that basically she was bullshitting him. She was on the phone with him very often because she was in New York and she didn't know anybody, and he was far away, so there was no sexual threat. You know, she didn't have to deal with that. But she was on the phone with him like her gay friend, and she enjoyed the attention, and she was talking to him, and he was telling her things, and she was confiding, and she was having someone to gossip with, which is very, very important to women. And she even gave him the impression in her game playing and her dissimulation, which I just talked about, that she liked him and she cared about him, and he was telling her some of his dreams and hopes and thinking and, you know, what he was going to do in his life and whatever, and that they were supposed to do together, and she was, you know, kind of keeping the ball bouncing. Somewhere along the line, he starts telling her, hey, you know what, I'm going to come see you. And now she has a dilemma. So she played along. Oh, yeah, sure, that's great. Come on to New York. We'll have a great time. I'll take you to the Statue of Liberty, blah, blah, blah. And then he actually did it. And now she was confronted with a reality that she had no interest in. Now, if she was a human being about it, she could have said, look, all right, I'm not in love with this guy, but he's a nice person. He's been very decent to me. He's given me a lot of his time and attention. And so now he's here. He's taking a long trip. Let me at least be nice and take him out once or twice. I'll let him down soft. I'll tell him I met someone, blah, blah, blah. But she didn't do any of that. She just did what was good for her. And she did not have any consideration and sense of fairness and justice in terms of that he had put himself out for her, that he had made an effort for her, that he had changed his life, that he had readjusted himself in another way. You know, if I knew that somebody, and I've had people like this, that really wanted to talk to me, or they really needed my legal help, and they come at like an inconvenient time and they tell me, I drove here from San Diego, I really got to talk to you. You know, I'll make an effort to see them on a Saturday, or I'll stay a little late or whatever, or make an effort for the person. I have friends that came to visit me from other states unexpectedly, from like college or whatever, guys I haven't seen in a long time, and they turn up in Los Angeles. I would go out of my way to make an effort to, you know, try to, you know, see them and be fair to them and say, look, I'm really busy, but I'll give you half an hour, whatever, because I know you made a big trip or whatever. Here, Kyle made a very big effort to see this person. He had some fantasy that he's crazy about her, that they might have a future together or whatever, and she basically had taken his gifts, which were attention and focus and whatever he was, you know, doing in terms of her gossiping, and she was taking his gifts and putting them in her pocket. And then she didn't have any more need for him. That is why guys will say, I can't believe how cruelly this woman acted. She just cut me off and never talked to me again.
Well, just feel really fucked over right now.
Oh, there he is. Nice going, Mike.
Popped out of nowhere.
Thank you. That was him.
Just feel really fucked over right now.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. That's when guys will say this. This is the classic session in therapy where the guy says, you know, I loved her so much. I did everything for her. I knew that we had a future together. And in 1 minute, she, you know, like this is what we talked about, looking about getting a better deal. It's something you used to always say, Tom. You'd always say a woman will get involved with the richest man she can attract, you know? So on some level, she's with you. Maybe that's true. Or she's dating you or whatever she's doing, whatever your relationship is supposed to be. And she's got one eye on you and the other eye is on the door to see if someone better comes in. And the bottom line is, at the end of the day, this thing that you say where you look across the table and you say, look, honey, I'm Prince Charming. I'm the best that you could do. One of the reasons that women get so frustrated with men is because they're really angry at themselves. And they say, look at this. I ended up with this schmuck somehow. I deserved a lot better. And there's an interesting article that I put on my Facebook lately, which was from one of the magazines, that said, you know what, lady? You don't deserve better. You know, water reaches its own level. You're with the guy that you're supposed to be with. And the idea that you were supposed to be with this multi-billionaire and it didn't work out or whatever, you didn't end up meeting him, or you got held back, or it's all your mother's fault, or who knows whose fault it is all nonsense. But the truth is, and this is really important, and this is what this thing with Kyle really, really, showed, and this is something that guys have got to keep in mind. She's associating with you as long as she feels a sense of benefit. I have so many guys, I mean so many guys, that are so naive about this, that tell me how their wife has filed for a divorce and it was completely unexpected. And we start talking about it and they say, well, I just got the papers, I can't believe she did this. And then they start talking about that they haven't had a job for 3 years. Or that they do have a job, but she makes much more money than they do. Or that, for example, they were going to supposedly go to medical school, they were going to be a doctor, or a lawyer, whatever, and they never finished school, or they dropped out of school. And I say, you know, you weren't working for 3 years. Don't you think that this woman was going to dump you? I mean, she was going to, you know, maybe be patient a little bit, because you guys had a lot of history together, you have children together, you have some kind of a life together. But after several years, you think she was just going to support you for the rest of your life? And guys are amazingly romantic about these things. They'll say, well, you know, we may not have been doing great financially, but we loved each other. You know, she loved me a lot. She was crazy about me. I know she's a very devoted woman. And the answer is, you know what, that's all very sexy and very nice, and you may think she was devoted, but the truth of the matter is that you were not providing her. And as I said in the original thing, you know, that I was reading before with Berfault Law, is that it's the woman that determines the conditions of the family. And when the female is not getting what she wants, and she is not getting benefits, and she has benefits in the past maybe, but she's not getting any now, that is over. That association will end. And when you talk about the reality of the way that women behave towards men, it's really true that lion, you know, has the teeth, and the other animals have tusks or whatever to protect themselves. And women don't have any of that. Women have deception. And they say how easily women lie and how it's so easy for them to deceive. And then there's even the physical deceptions of false eyelashes and push-up bras and hair extensions and weaves and all this stuff. Women are putting on a show. And part of that whole reality is being someone that they're not. And a woman will, and this is something you talk about again, Tom, a woman will go and be a porn star with a guy and do every sexual crazy thing you can imagine when you first meet her. And then you find out, you know, later on when you have a relationship, she tells you, well, I never really liked this, and I never wanted to have sex in the morning, and I don't really like it when you spank me, and all this other stuff. But the point is that she was doing this big show and deception in the beginning to get you to sign, to get you in. And it's the same thing they do with a car dealership. You know, a car dealer in particular, because it's a large purchase, generally speaking, a car is an expensive thing to buy compared to buying a pack of gum or whatever. A car dealer, a car salesman, will present what's called a false friendship, where he will pretend to be your friend. And he will give you this whole falsity that he's concerned about you, and he's listening to your concerns and your interests, and he's helping you to make sure you buy the right car for you, and that you get the right financing, and you're able to afford your payments, and blah, blah. But this is all bullshit, because after the sale's made and you drive away, if he never sees you again, that would be no big deal, no harm done. And the truth of the matter is that I've been amazed at what sincerity, you know, these women are pouring onto a guy. Oh, you're so kind to me. I appreciate it so much. And thank you, thank you, thank you. And then a minute later, it doesn't click with their life anymore. And it's not the circumstance that they need anymore. And they turn away from the guy in 1 second flat. And what I see in divorce cases is not only do they turn away, but they hate the guy. And when you think about a woman, and I talk to a lot of them all the time, who have been with a man for more than 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. They've had kids with him. They lived a whole life with him. They've had, you know, meals together, sex together, every life experience since they were 16, okay? And now they've been married for 15 or 20 years, and they want to get a divorce, and they hate the guy more than they've ever hated anyone before. And they want to ruin him. And I mean, if they know that he cares about something, like I had a few that were, the husband was a police officer, and he loved being a police officer more than anything, they want to get him fired. Or if he's a lawyer, and they know he loves being a lawyer, they want to make him lose his license. or if he's a doctor, they know the dirt. They've got some documents on some malpractice that he committed that he covered up, and they're going to give it to the medical board, and they're going to ruin his career and ruin his life. And you say to them, geez, you were with this guy for 20 years. He's the father of your kids. You know, you got to at least care for their sake, you know, and women always say how much they love their children. So you say, you know, don't you want them to have their father be okay and have, you know, a good future or whatever just to for their sake, if nothing else? And it's nothing. That benefit that they have received, whatever it was, even for years, is in their pocket and it's forgotten. And guys think, no, 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 my wife is loyal. No, she's not. Because the truth of the matter is she doesn't have claws and she doesn't have the ink to squirt that that paralyzes the enemy. All she has is her ability to deceive and to pretend and to play games and to manipulate. That's where a man says, I really want to buy something expensive. I'm going to work for the money and I'm going to buy it. And a woman says, I want something expensive. I'm going to find a man to buy it for me. And that's when we talk about guys being suckers and you say, you know, I can't believe it, whatever. We have guys calling the show saying that they co-signed the girl's car loan or they bought her something like very expensive and they thought, you know, if I buy this for her, she's going to appreciate it so much. She'll be my girlfriend or whatever. And it's nothing. She took it. She said, thanks a lot and screw you. And that's the reality. And this is, you know, very much the theory, of course, of Lycus and Lycus 101. But some of these things have real historical precedents, Tom, in Brefolt's Law and Schopenhauer. I have both of these posted on my Facebook, by the way. If anyone wants to write me, I'll send these to you. They're very interesting essays and writings. But the reality is that this is something that men have known about for a long time. And it's surprising to men. And I really felt bad listening to Kyle because he was so surprised that he did this thing that he thought was a very romantic gesture. And in the movies, you see guys doing really romantic things and how much the woman appreciates it. And that's because it's bullshit. It's fiction. The reality is you're going to do these romantic things, but she already decided a long time ago that she's not sleeping with you. And she's going to take your gifts, she's not going to return them, and she's going to say, thanks a lot, I'll call you sometime, and never will. And it's was what I heard Kyle talking to you, Tom, for I think more than an hour, and he was just going over it 100 times. Why? I don't understand. Why doesn't, oh, why can't I, how can I can't get through to her? There has to be a way. How do I start again with her? Where did it go wrong? And the answer is...
So what would you recommend me to do?
Yeah.
So what can I do to fix that? Is there anything else that I could have done differently?
The answer is, sorry, Kyle, there isn't. And that's something that you as a man have got to learn to understand and expect. And you should not have that other projection. And it's cruel to say this thing that you talk about, Tom, where, you know, you don't want to form attachments too deeply and you want to, you know, treat women like crap or whatever. But this is what we're really talking about. And when I show guys, and guys tell me that they're going to have a very relaxed divorce and what they call an amicable divorce, and they say, don't worry, my ex-wife and I have an understanding, and our divorce is not going to be a big deal. It's going to be friendly. And then I get the first set of papers from her lawyer, which includes her statement, you know, where she writes the situation as she sees it, and it's so vicious. And the guy reads it, and he says to me, I can't believe she wrote this. You know, her mother must have forced her. Her lawyer must have forced her. And the answer is, I don't think so. I think she wanted to do this. I think she wanted to be vicious. And I think that fundamentally, women are vicious. And guys have got to have their eyes open.
Right. Well, it's not just that they're vicious. They're vicious when they need to be vicious. But their intent is clearly to get, quote-unquote, security. That is why women are sharks. That is why they're always coming at you like roaches coming to the open sugar bowl. Because, you know, the women fuck around and, you know, they get nailed by every guy in town. But they want to settle down ultimately with Joe Schmuck, who is going to simply show up on time for dinner every night and hand over his paycheck. That when they have no more attractive guys they've been getting banged by all these years, suddenly they decide it's time to settle down. I've had my fun. They say it in Match.com. They say it on OKCupid. I've had my fun.
I think that it's a cruelty that men don't really understand completely, Tom. Seriously. if you look at camaraderie in terms of guys, and I'm not saying it's perfect because men, of course, screw each other over. But if you look at the soldiers that fight together in like a foxhole, you know, or guys on like a football team or whatever, you know, there's a real sense, I think, and there's even some morality that, you know, you don't hit on your friend's girlfriend, stuff like that, you know. And you see that women don't have any thinking for any of that. It means absolutely nothing to them. And, you know, for me, the ultimate is when it involves children. And I say to the woman, you know, do you really want to crush this guy into the ground if he's the father of your children? That's not going to be good for your children, you know. They need their dad, don't they? And women won't even give that a moment of thought. It's amazing. It's so natural for them to be so angry and so vindictive, even when they're the ones who cheated and they're the ones who filed the divorce. They're still so angry, and this all goes back to these principles. Because fundamentally, you know, when you think about how things have changed, where at one time, 100, 200 years ago, women didn't have the vote, women didn't have any rights. You know, generally speaking, men automatically got custody of the children, etc. And now things have changed so much to the other side that it's unbelievable, to the point that, you know, in 70 or 80% of divorces, women will make a claim of sex abuse and child abuse against the father. And just throwing that out there, all of a sudden he's being evaluated by psychologists. He's being accused. He can't see his kids. He can't be alone with his kids. I mean, this is like the power has shifted so profoundly towards women. I was just reading about a guy who was a famous football player in England. And he was married to a woman for 2 or 3 years. And she ends up taking half his pension. And he owned 2 houses. She took the 2 houses. And she took his accounts. And she's getting 400 and 500,000 pounds a year in spousal support. And it's like, you've got to be kidding. It's out of proportions. People have lost their minds. And this is the society as it is today. And, you know, they say that, you know, power causes, you know, corruption, and the absolute power corrupts absolutely. And if you look at the corruptive power, is that women have so much power now in the family law system, and they abuse it to the max, to as far as they can go. And they don't see any reason to stop or to calm down. And, you know, there's a very important concept, which I learned in law school, which meant a lot to me, still does, which is just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And you don't see that anymore now. You see now that they say, if I can do it, if I can let him have it, and I say this to a woman as a lawyer, I say, well, we could file this. Good, file it, you know? And I'll say, well, but, you know, let's think about it for a second. And she doesn't think that way. The female client says, if we can do it and we can stick it to him, let's stick it. And that has the cruelest of all outcomes. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, it's what we've documented on this show now for 18 years. And some things never change. Some things do change. Men are getting married at older ages than ever in American history. Less men are getting married than at any time in recent memory. The birth rate is going down dramatically in the United States. So there are ways things are changing. But among the people who are still in this marriage, love, and relationship business, well, some things never change.
Well, if you think about the birth rate thing, Tom, you know, this is something that has worldwide effect. You know, we have the Hispanic people in the United States having larger families, and the Caucasians having, like you say, not getting married and not having kids. That's going to change the demographics of the United States forever. And in Japan, for example, people aren't having kids at all. Something like 60% of women say that they're turned off by the idea of sex. And you have men that have no interest in being, you know, career slaves and wage slaves, not getting married at all, staying home, living with their mothers till they're 45, playing video games. So they're saying that in 2 generations, Japan's going to disappear. And if you look at countries like Germany, for example, today, that have extremely low birth rates, and now they have migrants coming from all over the world by the millions, from North Africa and Syria, and those are going to be the Germans of the future. So there are some real consequences to all of this happening, you know. They say that one of the realities of career women is that men don't like them, and men are turned off by them. And so men are going to refuse to mate with them, basically. And so they will not exist in another generation because they'll die off. They won't replace themselves because they won't have kids.
Right. Well, that won't be our problem, though, will it?
I don't know. It's going to be tragic for the next couple of generations, I suppose.
Yeah, that'll be their problem. Won't be my problem. I won't be paying for it. I won't be putting up with their happy horseshit.
Well, the reality is that, you know, there's the law of unintended consequences, which is that when you do things, other things happen that you didn't expect. And when women were originally asking for their rights, they were pushing for the vote. And giving women the vote led directly to them pushing prohibition and having that made a constitutional amendment, which ended up being disastrous. And if you look at the other things that they've done and what they call second and third wave feminism, where women are still crying about the wage gap, which, as we know, Dr. Farrow proved was bullshit. And this is something that President Obama repeats all the time. We hear it all the time. And now you have Madeleine Albright and what's the one from now? I can't even think of her name. She was just on the other
which
day.
Which one is it? Gloria Steinem?
Yes, thank you. Good old Gloria Steinem. Carrying on, they can't understand why young women aren't voting for Hillary Clinton. And it's because they can't stand her. That's why.
Right.
that old Jewish fart, Bernie Sanders, has more charisma.
Right.
I think Madeleine Albright said that if women don't vote for Hillary Clinton, then they're going to go to hell. They're going to have a special place in hell reserved for them. And apparently Steinem said that the reason they're voting for Sanders is because they think they'll be cute guys at the Sanders rallies. So that's all that matters to young women, apparently. So she didn't have a very high opinion of them.
Well, come on. You didn't think that women are interested in politics, did you?
I didn't think that they would say it so openly of these feminist leaders.
Women are not interested in politics until their eggs dry up. And guys are no longer interested, and they've got a menopausal mustache.
Right.
And they know how close they are to depending on Social Security, Medicare, Medi-Cal. And so they go out there, and they become feminists, and they vote for liberal politicians or socialists or whatever. That's what they do.
Unbelievable. So there you go, Tom. That's my analysis of poor Kyle.
Yeah.
And I just want the boys to be more careful, okay? I'm not saying you got to be a prick, but somewhere in between. If you're doing something really extraordinary and you're spending a lot of money and you think it's going to blow her mind, you may be very disappointed.
And here I am, like, oh, I feel so stupid right now.
Sorry, bro. Tom, did you ever see they have this? There's a whole bunch of these on YouTube of guys that did a very dramatic marriage proposal, usually on a basketball ball or a football court. And they have this big thing, and they get on their knee, and it's a crowd of, like, you know, 20,000 people. And the girl says no and runs away.
Well, that just happened with somebody who got too small a diamond. Remember some guy bought a ring with a diamond crumb?
Oh, dear.
I believe it was in China.
I thought it was all about the love, not the size of the ring.
No, come on. We know that. That's
I
bullshit.
Can't believe it, man. And if she loves you,
bullshit.
What difference does it matter what kind of ring you get her, for God's sake? It's the thought.
Yeah. I know. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Adam Sachs. Family law attorney Adam Sachs is here to answer your questions about divorce, child support, vagina money, child custody, prenups. Do you need a prenuptial agreement? Adam can do one for you. Postnuptial agreement. Do they stand up? We can talk about that. Or maybe you've been hit with a restraining order. Adam can help you with that too. It's free legal advice for you, and all you have to do is stick your finger on the buttons and press this number. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM for free legal advice from family law attorney Adam Sachs. Call right now. 901-3000-866.
So, how do you like our
little internet project
now? 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Have a time.
The Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000, Tom, a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with free legal advice for you. The family law attorney, Adam Sachs, at 901-3000. Tom, don't forget, if you're in the market for Tom Likas Show or Gary and Dino's show merchandise, the place to go is p1store.com. That's where you get all the merchandise right there. There's merchandising right now, caps, T-shirts, more merchandising arriving soon. And this is the place to go get familiar with it because it's where we're going to be selling other products that we sell here, including tickets to events and what have you. Go take a look at it. Almost 6,000 listeners have. Go to P1, as in Peter, and the number 1, P1store.com. Here we are with Adam Sachs. It's Family Law with Adam Sachs at 901-3000-TOM. It's free legal advice for you, 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number, 901-3000-866. I want to talk to you a bit, Adam, about fraud and marriage.
Nice.
It seems so many people are misled anyway when they get married. But what specifically would it be illegal? I understand a bigamy would be one thing, but what specifically is outlawed and what is not?
Well, you know that we have no fault divorce in most states now. So, you know, we used to have proof of infirmity or, like you say, bigamy or virginity or whatever. You know, these things used to be claimable and now they're not because it's no fault. Nobody cares. One of the things was marrying a close relative. I don't know if you know this, but the America's mayor, Rudy Giuliani, who was locked to be president. Did you know that? He was a sure thing at one time, Tom.
For about 10 minutes.
Yeah. He apparently got his marriage annulled, his first marriage, because he married his cousin, which I don't know how you could do that and not know. You know? I mean, I know who my cousins are, don't you, Tom?
Yes, I do.
So anyway, there used to be a whole range of possibilities that if you wanted to come up with an excuse, you know, the big one was always adultery. But once that kind of, you know, became less relevant in terms of no fault, you could still do it in terms of the religious thing, which was to get it annulled rather than a divorce. And that would be based on having accidentally, I don't know how you do that, marry a close relative. There are some cultures, like in the Arab culture, that it's very, very common to marry close relatives. The Amish do this as well, and it ends up being problematic because you end up having genetic disorders that usually don't happen, becoming more common because of these circumstances. But this is what people do. If you look at fraud, the only legal fraud, and I mean legal fraud, is the fraud that women do today, where a woman can tell a man she's on birth control, and that's absolutely not true. She can have a child. She can tell a man this is your child, and she knows that it's not. She can collect child support, which she's never going to give back. And the guy eventually can prove the child's not his, and if he does it soon enough, he never gets the support back, but at least doesn't have to keep paying any more in the future. And if it's past 2 years and certain cutoffs, then even if he proves that she deceived him and proves fraud, he still has to pay support to her until the kid's 18, even though the kid's not his. So if you look at it, the one that is able to commit basically very open-ended fraud of the most serious nature with serious consequences is women, and they themselves face no consequences at all.
Well, wait a minute now. So if I went to a woman and I said, okay, let's get married, and I'm the CEO of a big corporation, I've got $10 billion, and she marries me, and then I don't have a pot to piss in.
Oops.
That's under no-fault divorce. I would suffer no consequences for telling that lie.
I got to tell you, Tom, I think that the bigger concern you should have when you wake up the next morning and you tell her that you're a ditch digger and not a millionaire is that she's going to decide that you raped her. I don't know if you remember, but you had a guest on about a year ago, a little less, of a woman who was talking about this. She called it consent fraud or something like that, that she had been tricked by a man, that he had told her all these things about himself that were not true, and she got involved with him, and she felt that she should have some kind of legal redress, that she should be able to press charges against him for having basically convinced her to have a relationship and to have sex with him under false pretenses, more or less. Crazy stuff.
I don't believe that law ever got passed, by the way.
No,
maybe it's still
not.
Being debated, but I don't think it ever happened.
Well, I hope not. But you know, Tom,
that's one case where cooler heads have prevailed, if that's true.
Well, thank God for that. This is different from state to state. I was just reading some interesting things about some of the rules. But, you know, one of the classic things that we see This was actually something I posted on Facebook. There's a woman in Texas who made all these false claims of child abuse against the ex-husband. She made 10 or 12 of them, and eventually they were found to be false, and they actually arrested her for making false, you know, claims. And the thing that they were saying about it is that that was so unusual, that that almost never happens, that basically the woman can make as many false claims as she wants, and even as they're proven false, and whatever disruption they cause to the man's life and the child's life, you know, no problem. Normally when you make a false police report, you should face some consequences. And that's something that's just in its infancy. And there are some countries, I was seeing something interesting about Israel, actually, which is more or less a Western-style democracy, that no matter how false the claim is, if a woman makes a claim, she can never be prosecuted. And that was meant to protect women from being afraid to make claims or whatever. But the net effect has been that women have gone berserk and made claims against coworkers and everybody else. I don't know if you guys saw, there's a woman who's on, I think, the Game of Thrones, Gary, who says that a guy brushed up against her in the train station and put a finger up her ass or whatever, and she was pressing charges. This happened in England, and she was pressing charges against him, and it's completely false. I mean, women are just very imaginative about these things nowadays.
Wow.
You didn't see that?
No.
Oh, that's a great one, I thought.
No, I didn't.
I'll show it to you.
We got calls here. Let's get to these with Adam Sachs, family law attorney Adam Sachs. Free legal advice for you at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. Talk directly to Adam right now. 901-3000-866. David in Glendale, Arizona. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Tom and Adam, thank you for taking my call.
Hey.
Hey, Adam. Hey, I got a question for you. Kind of a strange question. I was just wondering if you dealt with this or not. Long story short is after 27 years, I got divorced.
Wow, 27 years.
Exactly what you described. I was shocked, absolutely shocked. I figured she had some kind of mental disorder. I didn't have a clue. I was clueless. So what you just described really hits a chord with me. The question I have is, I currently have a girlfriend. I know, shouldn't do it.
Right.
And obviously she's wanting to get together. So whether that's marriage or just living together. What the question I have is this. Assuming that I go forward with, you know, living with her and or getting married to her, the question I have is, she's like a multimillionaire. She's got so much money. I don't know how I lucked out or whatever, but she's just whatever. She's best friends with the Irvines. She's met, you know, all these stars. It's incredible. And I know it because I've been to some of her multiple houses, and her family has like gone through and vetted me and all this shit. Anyways, and money is not necessarily a good thing to have in life sometimes. But my question is this. If I go into an agreement together with her, whether it be in a prenup or what have you, I'm in a situation where I got screwed by my first wife. So I'm just trying to recover, right? And I think I can do it from a retirement standpoint, just living minimally myself, right? So if I go into this relationship, I can't afford to go any lower, okay? I can't. And my question is,
you're telling me that she's incredibly rich and she doesn't mind that you're broke?
No, she doesn't at all.
There's something wrong with this picture, my friend.
And is she going to make you sign a prenup?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Well, why would I do what?
Why would you sign a prenup?
I don't know. I mean, obviously.
What do you mean you don't know? Do you always do things and you don't know why you're doing them?
No, I don't give a shit about her money.
That's not the point. That's not the point. You don't know what you're going to give a shit. What if you're hit by a bus in the next 5 years? You know, you might give a shit in the future.
You mean as far as needing money?
You might.
I've got a very good job. I've got a pension coming, even though it's been decimated.
So? What is your incentive to get married, son? Tell me.
Oh, why?
What is your incentive to get married?
Well, I'm older, and she is a companion for me, and yeah, and I'm in love with her. As best I can tell,
But why do you need to sign legal documents? In fact, it wouldn't just be the one legal document, the marriage license and the marriage certificate. It would be the other legal document, a prenuptial agreement. What is your incentive to agree to that?
Well, I don't really want our money, our family's money or anything. I just
want to
be
able to... You keep it as an option. You always keep that as an option. You never know how someone's going to screw you when you get divorced. You never know.
I'm a little surprised, you know, that based on what you said before, that you were married for 27 years, right? I mean, you know the ins and outs of all this, right? I mean, you know what it feels like, right? I mean, be honest, right? I mean, this is like the big one for you. You've been through it all.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Pretty damn bad.
I understand,
I'm just now coming out of it.
I understand. So just tell me something. Considering you know that, and considering you've experienced that, why aren't you more apprehensive about, you know, getting into another marriage? I mean, most guys, if they've been through the ringer, they're just like, ugh, I'm never going to do that again, you know?
Well, you know, you go back and forth, though. I mean, you know, after 27 years and having somebody there, right, as a companion, and then having nothing, there's a huge fucking
problem. Who fucked you over, by the way? Let's not forget.
Well, no, I'm there. I agree with you. Hands down.
Right. So you miss having a companion who may ultimately fuck you over again. That's what you miss.
The first part, not the second.
Yeah, but then you miss it. Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know how this is going to work out. You don't know.
If it can happen in 27 years, it can happen in 1, 5, 10, 12 years.
Correct.
It doesn't matter.
So why cut off your options?
I see what you're saying. Why not go ahead and have that option in there to protect myself?
Always. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, because you can never tell with these women. They just change. Just like you said,
right.
Adam, and that's one of the reasons, you know, I emailed you, right? Because you mentioned all these other references, which I'm going to read. Because I'm clueless, even after 27 years. You know?
You see, that's
I'm in
kind
my
of,
50s.
I understand. I mean, I understand, you know, generally what you mean, and on some level, this is something that, you know, Tom's kidded around about. That if you could find a really, really rich woman, you know, that she had a lot more than you did, you know, like Britney Spears or whatever, that somehow that would make it, you know, interesting, that she wouldn't be, like, living off of you and depending on you or whatever. But on some other level, you know, what you're talking about sounds scary on some level. But I don't know what her expectation of you is. I don't know if you're, like, really gorgeous or you're brilliant or whatever, but somehow she's apparently willing to make... a lot of changes and sacrifices for you. There's definitely a lot of literature about this that, you know, women are hypergamous, as I said before. They want to marry a man who's richer than they are and more successful than they are. And this is something that it's not some BS thing. It's a big deal to women. And so it's fascinating, if that's the right word, that you found this woman who's just like, yeah, who cares? I don't care about money. Who gives a shit? You know, that's amazing. I give you.
she wants to pay for everything, and I believe it or not, I push back.
Okay.
She wants to travel overseas. She wants to go on cruises and all that. And I'm a 9-to-5. I've got a 9-to-5 job.
But you know, if you didn't have a prenup, you wouldn't need a 9-to-5 job. Do you understand?
Well, I do understand. And her family actually early on came forward and said that they would give me something to do.
So you're gonna be like a kept man?
I didn't want to say that, but that's God. Here's my concern. This is the reason for me calling. Regardless of this stuff, okay? Regardless of her and all this, the money. Here's the deal. I look back to 27 years. And I look at me trying to get my feet on the ground right now after the rape, the male rape that happened to me, okay? And I can do it. I can do it. I can be somewhat comfortable in retirement, live as a single guy and all this stuff. I cannot compromise that. I'll be out on the fucking street, and I can't do that, okay? So there's this woman with all the means, everything across the board, and I just don't know how to respond to it.
I understand, but what is going to happen?
About taking care of myself.
What is going to happen when she's tired of playing with you? You know?
I better not have a prenup.
I don't know, Tom. Save me here, Tom. There's something missing
from
the story.
I want to hear the reason. Why should you not have a prenup?
Why should I not have one? You mean, why should I have one?
No, I know why you should. You know, are you saying you don't want to have one?
Well, no, because if hers is hers and mine is mine, that could potentially, and Adam, you know the answer to this, that could potentially secure, you know, my 401k,
okay.
My pension, and all the things
I
would need.
Here's what I just did with you. Do you understand? I'm trying to trick you into saying the right thing here. What I want you to say is that you don't want a prenup. That's what I've been telling you. You do not want one.
Okay, so if I do not have one, Adam, I'm going to be in better shape than having one and at least securing what the fuck I have.
Let's face it,
she's
the one that's got the most to lose, allegedly. Right? You said she owns all the stuff. I mean, maybe you're wrong. How do you know? I mean, I don't know what the story is. It seems very, very...
I guess she would.
It's suspicious. That's all I can say. Do me a favor. Call me after the show. Call me after the show. And, you know, especially if you guys are going to make some kind of a prenup or she wants a prenup, she has to list her property. I'd like to see that.
All right. Let's take one more in this segment here. David in Glendale, Arizona. Oh, sorry. Let's get Eric in San Jose on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hello, Dad.
Hello,
long time, second time.
Hey, what's up?
And hello, Adam.
Hey, how
I've
are you?
I've traded emails with you, and you're like, hey, you should call into the show.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'll talk about my thing another day, but I just had a question, Adam.
Sure.
Tom mentioned, what happens, you get run over by the bus, and, you know, she says, hey, I got a prenup, you get nothing. Isn't it true that, what is the phrase, some kind of unforeseen circumstance or something, and they would set aside the prenup on that basis? You know,
you see
Tom rolling down the street in a box with no legs, and
this
old lady is going to have to pay.
No,
right?
I understand. I didn't go that far with him. What I was saying is, what are you going to do when she gets, you know, tired of playing with you? You know, I mean, if she's this spoiled rich bitch, right?
And, by the way, you know, here's a scenario. If he's still listening, here's a scenario. All right, so you're married, you're blissfully happy, and then she gets hit by a bus. And the family is like, who are you? Who are you, buddy?
What's your name again?
Get out.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
That could happen.
Or, by the way, you wouldn't even find out. She doesn't have to get hit by a bus. You come home one day and she's not there, and you're confronted with one of her attorneys, one of her handlers.
Right.
And you say, where's Marjorie? And they say, Marjorie doesn't want to talk to you anymore. Get your stuff.
For sure.
You've got 5 minutes to get your things and go fuck off.
Yeah, she'll be on the other side of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Adam, to step out of the example of a prior caller, what do you think about a prenup being set aside by unforeseen disability?
Well, let me just tell you that I know a lot of guys that thought that they were protected that had prenups, and the first thing, and I mean the first thing the woman does, is she challenges it automatically every time, and she immediately comes forward with all the usual stuff. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what I was signing. I'm stupid. I didn't have a lawyer. It's unfair. I was coerced. They have a list, okay? And I've seen quite a few of them that weren't, you know, if they were done right, it was one thing. But some of the ones that were done a little more loose or close to the wedding date or she didn't have whatever have been set aside. To do it really properly, like Tom did, you have to have a retired judge. You have to have a videographer make a video of it. You have to do a whole ceremony. You got to spend, you know, several thousand dollars. And most people don't do that. And most women will not cooperate with doing that. So it's a long shot. And if you don't do it right, you can be damn sure it's going to be set aside.
So particularly in the case of one, you know, get the bad break job, as it were. And
that's
it's a
bad
problem.
I know, but that's a bad brake job that I can't fix.
Yeah.
I mean, you come to me and you say, I've got this screwed up prenup. You got to make it work. You got to make it stick. And I can't make it stick. I can't do shit. It's garbage. Not going to work. And if you didn't go through the things, I mean, too many guys go to the UPS store. They tell me, well, I'm not worried. I've got a prenup. I go, well, I'm sorry that you're giving yourself a false sense of security because you don't have a prenup. You got nothing.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a hard talk for you to have in the office.
Yeah, a lot of guys get upset about it.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
Hey, Dad, good to wrap with you a little. You take care.
Okay. Good night, guys. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
I don't know, Tom, you've been a rich guy. That was weird, huh?
I know. Coming up, we're going to tell you all about how you can get in touch with Adam. You may want to speak with him privately, and we're going to make that happen as we continue.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hammer time.
Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can give me a call, toll free, 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I love and I respond to personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, and if you missed any part of Adam's Sacks, don't worry. Adam is here live. With a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show every Tuesday. So if you missed the chance to call in this week, just be listening. This coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Me and my niggas are going to come and fuck your bitches at home.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's
yay.
Beer Magazine. Now, Manny Pacquiao, sorry about that whole gay animal sex thing.
Uh-oh.
You knew this was coming. I'm telling you, he's done this before. He takes a whole shitload of fucking, a barrage of, incoming, and then he says, oh, yeah, sorry about that, I didn't mean it. But he really does mean it, he means it. He's totally...
Wow, that's in the clear.
Totally against the gay sex thing. It's like sex with animals, is what he said. It's more disgusting.
Right, he says, do you see animals mating with the same sex? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, take that for what it's worth. Someday, man, he'll just be able to say whatever he wants. But he just won't be able to make a lot of money like, you know, doing what he's
Mayweather.
Doing.
Yeah. He won't be making Mayweather money.
As we were departing yesterday, it turns out that it was breaking news that Vanity, the Prince protege, at the age of 57, rather.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. I was jipping somebody of points right there. 57.
Yeah.
D.E.D. dead.
Our girl had a little bit of a run with the cracks, and she was with Nikki Six.
Yeah.
And she was from Vanity Six, and she said that if she married Nikki Six, she could keep her name Vanity Six.
I tell you what, the cracks did it so bad that her kidneys were just shot. She's on dialysis treatment.
She had to do it like six times a day, man. Yeah. That's fucking brutal.
Yeah. that hurts. You into that nasty girl?
I liked her, man. She's awesome, dude.
No, apparently that was one of the hits, the biggest hit, 1982, Nasty Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I'm sorry. I do not know. I only listen to Kanye.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. A Florida woman who live streamed last year while she was claiming to be driving drunk, we covered this story, faces an enhanced sentence but no jail time after entering a... some kind of plea deal.
How is that an enhanced sentence if there's no...
She entered a plea deal. They're going to, like, cut of her a break. But we remember this girl, she's driving drunk, and she's periscoping.
Yeah.
And people are like, what the fuck are you doing at the time, real time?
Right. This happened in Lakeland, Florida.
What?
And we know if Bobby did this.
Do you know who I am?
He'd still be in jail.
I'm Whitney Beale.
Yeah.
You know who I am? I'm fucking Bobby.
If he periscoped his shit driving drunk, you our friend be still locked up.
She literally said, I'm driving home drunk on the periscope. That's just awesome. Former Alaska Airlines pilot has pleaded not guilty to flying a jetliner while he was drunk.
That's the right thing to plea.
My understanding that he blew a .10. And I have a feeling this happens more often than we know. It was probably a little unnerving to find out the real deal.
We talked about this before. You guys don't care if he gets on a plane after a couple of drinks.
He's flying from Portland to John Wayne, dude. He's flying,
by the way,
into the Duke.
Yeah, let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something, Pilgrim.
Yeah. The Duke is a tough place to fly into. I mean, it's not that easy.
Really?
I don't know what the
fuck.
What
are you're trying to miss Disneyland or something? What do you do?
I'm just saying, like, it's not, you know, it's not an easy airport there. I think that's some crazy sauce. I hope he is innocent. Because I don't want it.
You know what? You use the juke joint as like a beacon, and you just come right. You come right in, and when you're done over there with the plane, you head over to the juke, and you have yourself a couple nice cocktails.
Well, I don't disagree there.
Okay, I'm
for that, and the taco stand just a few doors down. Mm.
Finally, a video alert. You got to check out the 14-year-old female basketball player. If you haven't seen it yet, she slides during a play. On a hardwood, and it turns out there's this, like, one hardwood plank that's like slightly up from the floor, and it impales her. And she's literally stuck to the floor. They don't want to remove her. Everybody's gathered around her and shit. They're like emptying the fucking gymnasium. She's still impaled and like attached to the floor.
Yeah, they had to take things a little easy.
They call it a complete fluke. I don't know. Maybe they should have checked the floor beforehand.
Who's going to know to look? I mean,
well, now everybody should. Once you see a 14-year-old girl impaled and stuck to the fucking gym floor.
Yeah, her lower torso.
Yeah.
You can see.
It apparently missed, but 4 inches of the wood was sticking right into her.
Yeah, number 42 took the hit. 42. That's a shame.
That's one still picture. That's one to go down in history right there. Why isn't she getting up?
I don't know.
She's impaled.
Even Pat Tillman, who wore 42, said that hurt, man. Wow.
Yeah. Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show every single Friday. Just go to GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Hand tie.